I'm going to start, because the question was raised some weeks ago, what is Amrit? Now, instead of myself trying to explain what is Amrit, Bhai Sahib Bhai Ranjit Singh had a discussion while he was in prison with another Gursikh, and it fully covered the topic of Amrit. And that Gursikh, who was Bhai Kartar Singh from Canada, who was also sentenced to life in prison for trying to drive the English out of India. And Bhai Sahib was the same. He was sentenced to life imprisonment as well. Bhai Kartar Singh Sarabha was hanged when they sort of tried to rebel against the English in India in 1914, 1913. And they were all sort of captured and sentenced to life imprisonments. And Bhai Kartar Singh came from Canada. He met Bhai Sahib in the prisons and he stayed with him for many, many years. He's very, very devoted. He used to read Gurbani with total love and devotion, Bhai Kartar Singh did. And this is a discussion that took place between Bhai Kartar Singh and Bhai Sahib Ranjit Singh in the prison. It's in Punjabi originally, now it's been translated into English. So I'm going to read the English book. We'll cover small bits of it each week until we finish the book. I won't read the translation forward because it's quite long. You can read Jail Jitian if you want to read the book yourself. You can understand that. The actual reason for the discussion that took place, Bhai Sahib was a very inward person. He wouldn't sort of come out with things. If Gursikhs, even in prison, if the Gursikhs asked him about Gurbani, he would say, just carry on reading it. What do you want to know the meanings for? Are you going to be a gyani? Just keep reading it. And he used to put him off. And only on the rare occasion would he correct somebody's part. And that would be after the part. But he used to encourage all the Gursikhs in the prison, right? And they used to be in different cells. And they had this sort of system whereby each one sort of woke others up and all that. And they used to start about 2 o'clock. And each one knew what bani he was going to recite. One by one, they would sort of carry on till about 8 o'clock in the morning when the cell used to be open, and then you could go and have your bath and have food. So for 5-6 hours, this meditation used to carry on every day. And Bhai Sahib was a sort of instigator of this. And really, he was very highly respected in the prisons. And this particular event takes place in that Bhai Kartar Singh has suddenly now fell ill. He's got some sort of an illness, some sort of fever. And Bhai Sahib gets the message that Kartar Singh's ill. So Bhai Sahib sends a message back saying, make him some khalsa tea. Give him hot tea, you know, that'll probably cure him. Give him a good sort of couple of words of encouragement. You're going to be well, don't worry. And Kartar Singh was the person who had the duty of reciting Sri Sukhmani Sahib every day without a break. And he did it with such love and devotion, right, that the banis have flowed through his soul. But this day he was worried that because of this fever he had, he was not going to be able to do this seva. But Bhai Sahib said, the previous night, gave him this drink, tell him from me, he's going to be okay. Don't worry too much. And when they couldn't have a bath in the prison, in the cell, they had to get a bucket of water to wash their face, get a blanket and sort of sit up and start listening to Bani. And he sort of sat up as well, put his kumbh around him, and he was still sort of shivering a bit. And the part started. And he used to start with the Netanim Bani and Japji Sahib. And then after the Netanim, it was his turn. And Bhai Sahib would say the first line of the Bani, then the Gursikh knew what Bani to recite. And while he was reciting Sri Sukhmani Sahib with real, focused mind and devotion. And all these years, Bhai Sahib would never, ever speak in the midst of part. And Kartar Singh knew that. Suddenly, Bhai Sahib said 3 words which pierced Kartar Singh's heart. Prem hai, bairag hai, par afsos ras nahi. And Kartar Singh forgot all about his illness because this new arrow had pierced his heart. What? What's myself saying? Okay, let's see how it happens. The agony of the seeker. This discussion between the author Bhai Sai Bhai Ranveer Singh and his prison companion in the Indian freedom movement by Kartar Singh took place in the Rajmundry jail in Andhra state of India. One day Bhai Kartar Singh was reciting the Sukhmani Sahib, on hearing which Bhai Ranveer Singh remarked, "There is devotion and eager thirst, but how sad that there is no aesthetic and spiritual flavor, ras, in this recitation." I read that again. There is devotion, which we mostly lack. It's very hard to get devotion. There is devotion and eager thirst, barag, which is another stage, very hard to get. And the third stage is what was lacking, the ras, the taste of Amrit, really tasting it. There's no aesthetic and spiritual flavor, ras, in this recitation. These words created a disturbing agony in the mind of Bhai Kartar Singh. He began to reflect seriously over his spiritual shortcoming, and he wanted to know what aesthetic and spiritual flavor, meaning ras, actually was. What was it that Bhai Sahib was referring to? It led to a brief but thought-provoking discussion with Bhai Sahib, Bhai Ranveer Singh, about Sikh baptism, Amrit, and aesthetic experiences of Sikh mysticism, means spiritual experiences. The introductory remarks in this chapter are Bhai Kartar Singh's reactions in his own words and recorded by him. The views of Bhai Ranveer Singh are expressed in subsequent chapters in the context of the questions raised by Bhai Kartar Singh. And that was their words by the translator, Dr. Talochan Singh translated this book from Punjabi to English. So now by Kartar Singh's words. By Kartar Singh's reactions to Bhai Ranveer Singh's comments, "There is love, spiritual thirst, but how sad there is no spiritual flavor, ras." Bhai Kartar Singh was an Amritari Gursikh. He'd been doing Bani Paat for many, many years, and he thought he had ras. He actually believed and thought he had ras. And he'd been with Bhai Sahib nearly 9 years in the prison, and Bhai Sahib hadn't told him. That's how closed Bhai Sahib was. It was very hard to get anything out of Bhai Sahib. He was not one of these present-day sons or babbies who would openly say, "Bacha, tenu aa mil jua, tenu aa mil jua." He didn't believe in that at all. You struggle, you struggle. Work for it, work hard. "I came out of my state of emotional, religious sentiments and seriously reflected on the whole of my past from time of my taking baptism, Amrit, up to this disarming remark of Bhai Sahib Ranveer Singh, which became an unsolved riddle for me. He had made the remarks but not explained it. Many questions disturbed my mind. How is it that no sermon from any missionary or teacher had ever enlightened me about Amrit Ras, spiritual flavor of the divine nectar administered by Sikh baptism, Amrit ceremony? How is that I had not acquired it even after taking baptism according to Sikh rites?" So how come I didn't know about this? "The reader may not understand how deeply I felt the pain of these remarks. There is no ras, aesthetic and spiritual flavor. The first disturbing question was, why I alone, of all the prisoners reciting the hymns, felt the poignancy of these remarks? Why me? In life, I had faced great sufferings, misfortunes, but never had I felt so agonized and pained at this, as by these words of chance remarks of Bhai Sahib Ranveer Singh." He's trying to describe the pain he's feeling. And I can say with honesty, we will not fully appreciate his pain. Only he knows his pain, because he had endeavored and labored for many, many years with love of Gurbani, love of Paat, that he now was sort of, all this was challenged. If anybody could look into my heart with a clairvoyant vision, he could see nothing else except the deeply bleeding wounds created by these words. From every pore of my body, one could hear the cry. How is that? After 16 years, not one, not three, not five, 16 years, after 16 years of reading the scriptures, Gurbani, meeting holy people and contemplating the divine Naam, I have achieved nothing? Am I still the same spirit, in the same spiritual state in which I started my religious quest 16 years earlier? I recited the scriptures, lived in the company of godly men, contemplated his Naam, performed various types of services, and yet how sad it was to be told that nothing has been accepted at his door. This is why I keep reminding the class, this is not a path for the faint-hearted. It's a wonderful path with glorious gifts, but it's not for the faint-hearted. You've got to be strong, you've got to be resolute, you've got to be determined, you've got to be devoted, and you've got to be unquestioning. You don't question the Guru. And our weakness is we question the Guru at every step of our life. Things go wrong. Guruji, why this? Why that? It has to be above that. All the spiritual seeds I sowed did not seem to bear any fruit. Who else besides me could feel the agony of what I felt? The heart that suffers alone knows the poignant pain of inward agony. How can others know the sorrow of inner pain and suffering? Gurbani. I do not think my companions paid any serious attention to these chance remarks of Bhai Sahib Ranjit Singh. Probably they did not hear them. If they did hear words, they ignored them and remained silent. These words pierced my heart like an arrow, and it was the consolation and knowledge imparted by divine men that could give a healing touch to these wounds. And now even this door appeared to be closed, because I came to know of the shortcoming in a very odd place in the world, the prison, where time was limited in talking, and where he knew Paisa was very, very close. He would not let on too much. He would not talk to anybody for long. He used to spend most of his time in meditation. He didn't want to be disturbed. You could not go to Pai Sahib and say, Pai Sahib, I've come for an hour's discussion. He'd say, go and talk to somebody else. Don't waste my time. So he knew there's a person who had raised this, pierced him in the heart, probably wasn't going to tell him. I pinned great hope on the Guru and his grace that someday I would be released. But I was undergoing life imprisonment. In those days, there was no early release. Life meant life. It was only on the sort of campaigning of others outside that the British government probably could relent, and that's how they released him. But it wasn't sort of dictated by their sentence. The sentence was for life. And to get released from prison while living appeared beyond expectation. There was only one way out. The saintly... See, Paisa was arrested as a saint. He was respected as a saint in the prison. Now, Paisa used to sort of frown upon these sort of titles. You know, just a brother, Pai. And Paisa used to call others Paisa. That's how they called him Paisa. But it was just Pai, nothing else. But anybody who touched Paisa, you know, it was nothing less than a saint. The saintly Paisa Ratir Singh, who had pointed out this malady, should be requested to heal it. So he had this consolation in his mind, Kartar Singh. But now he's pointed it out. I've got to pursue it with him. Whatever happens, whether he's mad at me, angry at me, you know, I'm not going to stop till I find out. I knew Pai Sahib Ranjit Singh's temperament and attitudes intimately, because I had lived close to him in prison for 7 years. And for 7 years, Pai Sahib had not told him this. You know how we say, Pai Sahib, you sandas diyo kush. You know, have you got something? Please tell us. And Pai Sahib, haan, bachya de madha da, I'll tell you what happened in my Simran. Here's Pai Sahib. For 7 years, he's not told anybody anything. You know, when people talk about Paisa Paira Tir Singh, they think they're gonna become Paisa. I'm sorry, the bad news is you're not gonna become Paisa. Paisa is one of those exceptionally gifted and blessed souls. And people who try to sort of copy Paisa are gonna lose the battle. Paisa is not copyable. He was a genius, he was gifted, and that, like Paisa, by Veer Singh and others. These are individuals who come to this earth to enlighten and guide us. They're not to be copied to the letter. You copy the letter, you lose out. It just won't work. So he knew Paisa. He would not talk so openly. He said he won't talk openly. I want questions answered. And he knew that he won't talk like that. He would not talk so openly about spiritual matters and mystical experiences as I wished. He might, I thought, get annoyed. What would happen if he got annoyed? What would happen if Paisa got annoyed? Would Kartar Singh fear that? Should he fear it? What do you think? Should he fear Paisa getting annoyed? Well, the bad news is he should, yes. Because any Gurmukh who says something from his, even if he's annoyed, right, and he says something that's not going to be beneficial to you, you lose out. So you don't annoy Gurmukhs. You try to please them as much as you can, hoping that they'll sort of, you know, do a little prayer for you. You don't go out to annoy them. And he knew that's the last thing he wanted, to annoy Paisa. But he knew Paisa's temperament, though, that, you know, it was very not easy to get anything out of Paisa. I thought, as I wished he might, I thought, get annoyed if I asked him some pertinent questions. But then I reflected over his remarks and felt that he, having divined my shortcomings, might even now explain to me how to remove it. So I would like to say a few words about him before the reader goes through the actual discussion recorded later on. It is difficult for me to say anything about Paisa Ranjit Singh's earlier spiritual achievements, because I knew him intimately only for the last 6 or 7 years in prison. He didn't know Paisa before the prison, right? He only met him in prison, so he only knew about Paisa in the prison. So he's only going to talk about that. When I was transferred first to his prison, Hajari Bagh, in the state of Bihar, well, you could read all this in Jail Chittiyan, in the autobiography of Paisa, it's all in there. There were about 46 freedom fighters with him. During the 7 years of life as a political prisoner, I frequently got an opportunity to be locked up in the cell next to Paisa. The prisoners had to talk to one another from within their cells at the top of their voice. That's how they communicated, because they wouldn't let them out. So they just sort of talk loud and sort of converse and saying. But Paisa Ranjit Singh and those locked near him spent their days in solitude. They were not allowed to talk. Paisa didn't want no noise next to his cell. So anybody who was next to this side and that side was told, you're not going to shout. And the days were spent in solitude and prayed until under his spell. Everyone close to him was asked to rise up early at 2 a.m. So if you are wondering what time Amrit Vela was, it's around that time. At 2 a.m., and he's in prison now, not in the luxury of our homes where we stay and sleep on beds and get up when we want to get up. He's in prison now where they, you know, cold, dreary cells with open sort of doors, bars, wind coming through, no heating. And those who had memorized various prayers from the Guru Granth Sahib recited them by 10. The recitation was loud enough to be heard in the whole block of prison cells. Very little time was given to rest. The recitations and the meditations stopped when the prisoners had to take their bath. During recitation, Paisa Ranjit Singh remained silent and deeply absorbed in meditation. He would not indulge in discursive discussions about spiritual matters. He wouldn't. So I feared that he might get annoyed if I asked him some pertinent questions. If anyone talked just for the sake of talking, Paisa remained silent. He wouldn't say anything. So the other person would stop automatically. He said, no getting anywhere here. Paisa was not answering. We did very little work in the prison. The prison officers just wanted us to avoid any confrontation with them. They feared us considerably. The jail superintendent inspected the prison hurriedly in the morning. We were supposed to clean about 20 pounds of wheat every day. You had to grind wheat every day, about 20 pounds. That was their sort of job for the day. By 7, Tir Singh remained silent all day, deeply absorbed in meditation. The prisoners locked close to his cell were asked to maintain peace and silence. We knew he did not like being disturbed, so absolute silence was maintained around his prison cell. When we talked, we did so in whispers. We who lived with him in prison had considerable evidence of his great spiritual powers. He said, we had witnessed these powers. Even though he didn't want to show them, sometimes they happened accidentally. And we had witnessed these, so we knew that this individual had, you know, many powers that he would never show, but on the odd occasion they would happen. But these are things which I hesitate to discuss openly. So even Pai Kartar Singh said, I hesitate to discuss openly. But there are many things that happened in that prison, right, that I'm going to keep a secret. He generally recited the first two lines of the prayer which was to be recited. And the man whose duty it was to recite got the hint that he must start it. And he immediately began to recite that particular prayer. Thus, prayers were recited from 2 a.m. to about 7 a.m. So about 5 hours. When the bell rang for morning bath and meals, he tactfully guided those who recited with incorrect pronunciation. So he would sort of guide them after the bath and the meals that, you know, recite, say this line again. And he would say, no, look at the Gutka, check it. And he would then correct them. That's all he would do, nothing else. If they asked for the meaning, he would say, what do you know the meaning for? You're going to be a Gyani? You need to know the meaning. Where they erred, he either tactfully asked them to read again from the Gotka's short prayer book, or he would himself recite the lines with correct pronunciation. He expressed his views about the divine Naam and the recitation of hymns rather curtly. If anybody asked which composition of the sacred scriptures should be memorized, he said, any one you like, and as much as you can with concentrated attention. If you stop reciting, contemplate the name of God. Then after contemplation, again recite the prayers. The human mind is a rest. Now this is very important for us. Listen carefully now what Pai Sahib is saying. But when I said before, it's these words of wisdom that never know when they're going to come in handy for us. We battle the mind all the time. These are Pai Sahib's words now about the mind. The human mind is as restless as a monkey. If you ever watched a monkey, see how restless a monkey is. He's always jumping about. You never ever see a monkey doing nothing. And that's how the mind is. It has to be tied to a post and kept revolving around a fixed point like an ox around a Persian wheel. If you want to control the mind, then fix it round. Keep it going round. Even if it wanders, keep doing Gurvani and Naam. Keep doing Seva. Keep doing the good things. Let it wander. One day, it'll stop. Trouble is, we are too quick. We want it immediately. It doesn't happen immediately. Although the scriptures, which are mostly in the Punjabi language, were generally understood by most people, he avoided getting into linguistic discussion. To those who asked for the meaning of some hymns, he would say, brother, I do not know the meaning of those hymns, but if you have understood them, please explain them to me. So if they asked Paisa, he would say, well, I don't know. If you know, please explain to me. I am not a certified preacher, Gyani. I have not studied the sacred scriptures in school and college. How comes it that you are so worried about interpretations? Are you taking up a preacher's profession? Are you going to be a Gyani that you want to preach? Recite the scriptures and contemplate the divine Naam, and the inner meanings will unfold itself. Now here, I would stress that you do study the meanings of Gurbani. Where Pai Sahib is coming from is a different plane. If your mind is totally worldly, it needs to move away from that. Pai Sahib is saying, you in the prison, got nothing else to do. You've got no worries. Okay, your sentence is a worry, but that's it. It's happened now. Don't let the mind wander about things that are useless. Get on with praying. Get on with meditating. and let things happen on their take their own course. The problem with our minds, I believe, is that our minds are so involved in the world that it needs to rise above it. And that's why I always encourage all individuals to study Gurbani, study history, so that they can begin to sort of lift their minds above this, so that Gurbani and Naam can have the desired effect on the mind. And they are very powerful tools. Paisav knew his history. Paisav knew the meaning of Gurbani. He was trying to say to them, look, you're going to spend your time too much into trying to find the meanings. In the end, the meanings will say, Japo ta eko nama, avar narafla kama. You still got to meditate. The meaning themselves will come back to there. You've got to do good actions, have virtuous qualities, have virtues, and then meditate. So it's going to come down to that. But obviously, Gurbani has its own power as well. Don't ever underestimate Gurbani's power. It's not just instructions. There's nectar there. Gurbani is Amrit as well. Man is born as a human being to read and bear the divine word. Ayo sonan paran ko bani. The sacred writings of the gurus and the perfect saints will liberate the mind and soul of mankind from ignorance and darkness. Know the sacred hymns of the guru to be truth and ultimate truth. Guruji is saying that in Gurbani. This is a translation now. Know the sacred hymns of the guru to be truth and the ultimate truth. God himself inspires the guru or disciples to utter these sacred words. Satgur ki bani, sat sat kar jana gur sikho, har karta aap muho kadai. While praying and meditating, continued Bhai Rintir Singh, I have never stopped to think why and wherefore of the prayers and scriptures. The sacred hymns are self-revealing. The very words of the Guru are for us an embodiment of truth. I sing the word recorded in scriptures as the embodiment of Guru's spirit. I consider not any other writing as the spiritually inspired word. Gurbani again. When you come to interpretations, you will find that different people interpret differently. As I've said, scholars have different opinions of translations, right? And Paisav saying the same thing. That if you get too involved with translations, then you could get locked into that mind thought that translates everything. They're not. Translation is a tool to inspire you into Gurbani deeper, rather than trying to become a gyani or trying to become a preacher and trying to become sort of sharp-minded. That could be dangerous. It will be difficult for you to decide which is right and which is wrong. It will lead you to doubt and skepticism. It is also difficult to decide the historical context of every hymn as is generally done. The great apostles delivered a sermon to a particular person, but it is a universal message to the whole world. Gurbani again. The second question, which was usually raised before Paisav and Tir Singh, was, what is this Guru Mantram of the Sikhs? What is the Guru Mantra of Sikhs? Other prisoners, like Hindus in the prison, were also there. They used to ask, well, what a Guru Mantra kiya? You know, tell us, what's your Guru Mantra? What mantra has Guruji given you to recite, to jap, to meditate on? And Bhai Ranjit Singh's reply generally was, it is the divine word which only the Panj Pyare, the five beloved ones, are entitled to impart to one who comes for initiation through Amrit ceremony, baptism. The eminent Congress leader, Sri Venkata Kundu, generally tried to persuade him to give him Guru Mantra for meditation. He tried to persuade Paisav to give him the Guru Mantra, but he frankly told him that no individual Sikh can do it. He shall have to accept baptism, and baptism is given to those who prepare themselves for it and deserve it, and not to anyone for the asking. He was against breaking this tradition. When he was asked the method of contemplating God's name, he said, contemplate God with every breath. Don't waste any breath. I string every breath I breathe with the divine name of God. The breath that passes without his name on my lips is a breath wasted in evil thoughts. Gurbani. The Sikh gurus command us to remember God with every breath, whether awake or sleep, sitting or walking, weeping or laughing. Remember his name with every breath. People may laugh at you or mock at you for repeating the name of God mechanically, but disregard them. In the prison, you are much better off because no such person can reach you. So in the prison, you're free. Nobody's going to sort of take the mickey out of you. You can do what you like. Do it all day. In fact, Paisav, actually, when he came out of prison, so many years later, he actually says that. He says, we had much more time in the prison to meditate than I have now outside the prison because of so many visitors coming to Paisav, to see Paisav. They were taking Paisav's time up. But in the prison, Paisav said, it was much, much better. Five of us, including Paisav and Tir Singh, had been transferred to the prison from Bihar State. Four freedom fighters were brought from the exile prison of Andaman Island. We were all imprisoned in one block. The recitation of the hymns continued as before. One evening, when the evening prayer, Rera Sahib, had been recited, I started reciting the Sukhmani Sahib, a devotional prayer of Sri Guru Arjan Dev Ji, which takes about an hour to be recited. As I was very ill, I could not continue the recitation. Paisav Tir Singh asked another person to recite it. After the prayer, Paisav came to me and inquired about my health and parted after saying, I hope you will be well tomorrow morning and will be able to recite the Sukhmani in the morning. All night I suffered from high temperature. Restlessness in a state of semi-consciousness troubled me considerably and at times I started mumbling prayers. When it was dawn and time for prayer, I washed my hands and feet and wrapped myself in a blanket. I sat for prayers. On one side of Tir Singh's cell was Nihang Singh. On the other side was my cell. After the recitation of Japji, Nihang Singh recited Asa Ki Vaar at the pitch of his voice. He had a very loud voice. Nihang Singh always have a loud voice. So he started reciting Asa Ki Vaar. Everyone could hear him. After his recitation was over, Paisav recited the first slok of the Sukhmani Sahib, which was an indication that I should now start reciting the Sri Sukhmani Sahib. I was suffering from fever, headache, but I knew that Paisav Ranthir Singh's call was meaningful. That if Paisav had given the indication that I should do it, then I should make the effort to do it. Even though I had high fever and a headache. How many times have we stopped doing Netnem or didn't do a part on time because we had a bit of a fever or we were ill? I knew that from his clairvoyant power, he could clearly study my physical and mental condition. And we had tested this many times. So Kartar Singh knew that Paisav was no ordinary person. He could, even sitting in his cell, could see what state I was in, because they had seen this before with many, many incidents that they had. I took courage, and even though my health did not permit it, I started reciting Sukhmani with concentrated attention and in a high-pitched voice. My body started sweating as I went on reciting, and the ache disappeared. The fever came down, and soon I forgot everything about it. The recitation went on for about 2.5 hours. Sri Sukhmani Sahib can be recited in an hour, but this time it took 2.5 hours. I said that before to you, that the sign of Guruji's blessing or his wonderful gift is when your mind gets deeply absorbed in Gurbani. And Sri Japji Sahib then takes not 10, 12 minutes, but half an hour, three quarter an hour, or Netnem takes hour and a half or 2 hours. That's when the mind leaves this worldly sort of plane and saying, I'm busy, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. But it only happens now and then, not continuously. After the recitation, I felt that I still had a little fever, but no headache. Contemplation and prayers filled my mind with peace and bliss. It is only when the morning prayers were over that Paisav Ranthir Singh remarked, there is devotion and eager thirst, but how sad there is no aesthetic and spiritual flavor, ras, in this recitation. Never in the last 6 or 7 years had he ever made any comments while the prayers were still being recited. This was against his nature and temperament. Now that he had pointed out my major weakness, I felt that I must ask him how to cure it. At that time, I remained silent, but I made up my mind that as soon as I got time, I will meet Pai Ranjit Singh alone and get my doubts cleared about it. As I was ill, I remained in my cell while Nihang Singh went to prepare breakfast for us. After an hour or so, Nihang Singh brought hot tea for me. He greeted me and said in his usual hilarious mood, "Wake up, sire. Take your tea, hot and plenty. Why are you frightened of this jackal, this cowardly fever?" See, Nihang Singh's words are so powerful that they have very powerful words for really encouraging people, sort of rise up. He says, "This fever is only a jackal. You're a lion. What are you worried about this fever for? Come on, get up. Have this drink. Soon go. Be brave and drive it away. It has come to give you a little massage, nothing else." He says, "Don't worry about it. It's come to do your seva." It is, you know, really Kartar Singh suffering, but his words are really encouraging. "Frighten it and it will run away. Recite your prayers and God's name and lo, the fever will go." Other prisoners who came to get their tea, he distributed to everyone and gave me a mug full of it. He told me that Pai Sahib Ranjit Singh had asked him to give me a good hot tea, and so he poured more and more of it. "Do not worry," he said, "your illness will disappear. I will send for the chief medical officer today. Today we are having rice pudding for lunch, which you will enjoy." I had to drink more tea than I wanted to. Such were Nihang Singh's persuasive words. Then I went to bed for some time. My body sweated and the fever seemed to disappear. However, I felt a little tired and exhausted. My mind was still brooding over Pai Ranjit Singh's words of comment on my recitation. After brooding over it for an hour, I made up my mind to ask Pai Sahib the following questions. Question 1. Can every baptized Sikh achieve the Amrit Ras, the ambrosial spiritual flavor? Question 2. Why have I remained devoid of Amrit Ras? What is my real shortcoming? Question 3. How did he come to know what I lack? That I lack this. How did he know? Question 4. What should I do not to achieve it? What should I do to achieve it, I would think. At 12 noon, the workshop closed down. Ordinary prisoners had to go to their cells. But we were free to move about because we had to cook our food. We were free to move in the courtyard. The second reason for our being left free was that our cells had special locks, and the routine of taking the keys from the office and depositing them again was very complicating. So we enjoyed considerable freedom with some sentry posted on us. With exception of those prisoners working in the workshop, no other prisoner was supposed to talk to us. As we were considered very dangerous political prisoners, no other political prisoner was allowed to talk to us. The prison officials and the guards were also afraid to talk to us. We took our lunch and were leaving the courtyard for a little rest in our cells. After resting for about half an hour, we woke up. I was brooding over all that had happened, so I went to Pai Sahib Ranjit Singh. Everyone was either resting or busy reading some book. I reverently greeted Pai Sahib Ranjit Singh. He was sitting deeply absorbed in Samadhi. He opened his eyes and said, "Sir, you will not leave me alone. You have been disturbing me with your thoughts and questioning in your mind. If you cannot sleep, go and recite the prayers. What are you disturbing me for? Have you nothing else to do except talk to me? Now that you are so intimate with me, you feel free to come and talk to me as you like. How happy would I have been if there were locks outside my cell? Now that you have come, ask what you wish to ask." See these sort of nasty words of Pai Sahib. But that was the sort of cloak Pai Sahib wore, you see, to keep out disturbances. And it's one of those qualities that very few people have. Paisa was not in the habit of giving away information. You had to work very, very hard to get anywhere. I mean, 7 years, Pai Kartar Singh had been with him. He never told him that he never had ras. And now he's trying to ask him, and he's sort of saying, you know, now you're a bit well, are you coming to disturb me now, have you? And he's saying, okay, ask what you want. Don't waste my time. Get on with it. And next week we'll start there, when the questions and answers start. And then you'll realize what Amrit is. Well, when we finish the book you will, but certainly the question and answers will start next week.